My name is Lori Babcock, and on September 11th, I was 24, living in Westchester County, about 40 miles outside of New York City. And that morning, I had just turned on MSNBC, which I did every morning. I'm going to start that over.
Okay.
That morning, I had just turned on MSNBC to catch the news, and I saw that one of the Twin Towers had been hit. They were saying that it might have been a helicopter. And my friend Ellen, who I lived in her home, she was working in the city. So I called her office. Nobody had cell phones back then. I called her office and let her know what I was seeing on the news. And while I was leaving the message, the second tower was hit. So the tone of my voicemail message changed drastically. And I was just yelling into the phone, "We've been attacked. Please come home," and just yelling at her. I hung up the phone and I thought about the 13 miles of Manhattan and where her office was and where the Twin Towers were located. And her office was near Times Square. And my fear was Times Square would be next. I ended up watching something like 13 hours of television that day. I was just glued to the set. This was way before Facebook or YouTube. Google was a thing, but it was relatively new. And so all of our breaking news came from the television. So I watched Ashley Banfield, who was covered in dust outside of the Twin Towers. And she was there the whole day. I felt like she was the only person I would listen to that whole day. And it was terrifying. I sort of waited for someone. I was 24, and I was just waiting for someone to tell me what to do. Ellen's husband, Stephen, came home. He had not gone into the city that day. He had a doctor's appointment, and he came home and immediately called Ellen. And he got her office voicemail also, and he was just swearing and screaming into the phone that she needed to come home. When Ellen finally called the house, she said she and her staff were walking uptown, that all of the subways were not working. Her husband, Stephen, told her she shouldn't be underground anyway, because we really didn't know what was going on. And she walked from her office just south of Times Square all the way up to the Harlem Line at 125th Street. On the way, some of her staff lived between there, and she dropped people off, walked them all the way to their house, so it was even further, and walked all the way up to the 125th Street station, which is where the Harlem Line train was that would take her to Westchester and back home. She had a car at the train station, and so she drove herself home that night. And as soon as she walked in the door, I threw myself at her and just hugged her. And she told me to turn off the TV and go to bed. It was the first time somebody had told me what to do all day, so I did. The next morning, I went out to my car, and it was covered in dust. It was covered in the towers. A couple of years later, I moved into Manhattan, and I ended up working for the World Trade Center Worker and Volunteer Medical Screening Program. It had opened its doors sometime in the summer, I think, of 2002. The World Trade Center program provided free medical and mental health screenings to 9/11 workers and volunteers. And through my work at Mount Sinai, I met hundreds of police officers and construction workers and iron workers, and undocumented workers who were in charge of cleaning services after 9/11 in those buildings that were around the Twin Towers. And, you know, everybody has a story. Everybody has a 9/11 story. Mine is just one.